please be warned, there's almost certainly a few sweary words and strong opinions in this podcast. If that's not for you, then turn off now.
Waving everywhere, man. Waving everywhere, man. See everything square, man. This is a Glasgow Fair, man.
Welcome back to the Beyond Hampden Park podcast, the spin-off from Beyond Canal Park. Well, if we've not been in your ear holes for a while, Scotland Hinnie had duty for a while, but we're back. We've got a couple of friendlies coming up. First one against Poland, which we're all heading down for. As usual, tonight I am joined by John McLeay. How are we doing, John?
Good to be back.
No, it's been a while. And of course, with us, still on Skype, unfortunately, is Colin Brook. How are we doing, Colin?
I'm fine, boys. Good to be back.
Ready to go for a Scotland game?
Absolutely.
Okay, Doc. Well, there's plenty to dive into, despite hearing the games. We'll look forward to Poland and then who we might play in the second one. We'll also look forward to the World Cup draw. Okay, here we go. Well, boys, good evening. How are we all?
Not too bad. It's been a good few months since we last met up for a pod, or didn't a meet up.
You keep me well, Brooke. You've had about three bouts of COVID since then, have you?
I've had a couple of goes at a time, but I'm back on top form again and ready to go.
Ready to go for Thursday. It's been ages since we've gotten down to a game again.
Cannot wait. I've got a week off of work, both games. It's going to be brilliant.
So obviously we're playing Poland, John. It was meant to be a World Cup qualifier, semi-final and final for Scotland, but it's nae. But what's your thoughts on the situation with Ukraine? It's unlikely to go ahead, is it, even in June?
No, I kind of see it. It's devastating if it's happening in their country just now. And in this day and age, to think of what's going on in Europe is just mind-blowing, really. And without getting too political, because Brookie will get carried away.
He'll be greeting by end of
some of the leaders in charge of major countries I knew.
Fucking Muppets.
Oh, Putin, Boris Johnson, Trump in the past. It's no wonder the world's in a mess. Getting back to the fit, but I just kind of see it happening. This isn't going to end in the next month or so. I did read an article somewhere saying that Ukraine players in Ukraine might get to leave the country. So there's maybe a little glimmer of hope that could happen. And I think the most likely thing is we'll get the bye into final. I think it's a shame for them. I'd rather we played a game and got here by merit. Mm-hmm. It kind of does feel a wee bit wrong that we get a bye, but I'm certainly not up for letting them get a bye.
There's no reason we should be punished by letting them get through. I've been against giving them the bye by the start, because
subscribing
there are still Ukrainian players playing football.
Majority of their squad was obviously based in Ukraine playing their football there, so definitely a big number of them. He reports that they're actually sort of kind of front line duty and stuff, so you understand there's bigger things in football going on here, even though it is the World Cup. And I echo what Stevie Clark says. This is utterly tragic, devastating. But, I mean, you would love the game to go ahead in June, because it means that something's improved in their situation. And we get a chance. And the most sporting thing that could happen is for us just to slug it out in the semi-final and the winning team goes through. But I have to say that the way I see this thing going is they'll have to forfeit the match, because let's be honest, it kind of go beyond June, because again, FIFA want the World Cup that are tied up and ready to go. So I see we'll be playing in the final. Now, the way I sort of see it happen is we've got three games in June. So you've got Armenia, then it was meant to be Ukraine in the Nations League, and then Ireland. So, I mean, thinking ahead, and we're assuming a lot here, but if it was us a buy into the final, you're probably looking at that middle date of the triple header when we should have been playing Ukraine.
Aye.
So it was against Wales or Austria at that point, I think, is the most likely outcome of this sorry situation.
I think so. And that's it. Ukraine have got bigger things to worry about than football, and maybe they should have been saying us going Go on, hey, you're buying. Go and win it for both of us.
Well, hey, see if Ardy really is wanting to support them and make a big gesture. We can get it right up FIFA and Qatar here, who I've never been a fan of in the World Cup. I think it was obviously dodgy dealings and backhander. So let's just award Ukraine the World Cup. If we're going to let them through the first,
well, that's it.
The semi-final.
If we have to let them through, Ardy else should have to.
Yeah, and then... FIFA and Qatar want to get their money of the World Cup going ahead, so that's my second choice.
It would just be like Scotland to qualify for the most tainted World Cup in history.
Yeah.
After such a long absence. Only option for FIFA, UEFA, just to hay this delay and wait and see if it happens in June and gear us a buy if need be.
I think there needs to be a cut-off before June as well. It needs to come kind of end of April, May kind of time, that a decision just needs to be made. You can either make it or you can't make it. And it kind of go on, because Scotland and Ukraine, if they're able to play, need to be able to prepare for if it's actually happening. Exactly. Along with Wales or Austria, whatever makes it.
It's, I mean, you see on the telly, it's not looking likely, and anytime soon, okay, in the BBC, the big propaganda machine, but... And you take it with a pinch of salt, but it's not looking good for them for being ready to play a World Cup qualifier by June.
And if Putin keeps going, I might not be a Ukraine either.
How many of them would actually say, I'll leave helping Ukraine, I'll leave what I'm doing here to go and play in football, like you say, bigger things. And I think there would be many of them would do that either. So it was the right thing to do, it was the right decision. But I think most folk have come to the same conclusion, and unfortunately, that's just how it's going to be.
I think so, but I guess it's not for us to decide. We're going to get to solve the problems there. We're here to speak about Scotland, and with the absence of Ukraine, and obviously Russia getting pinged out, Poland did a spare game. We're playing against them on Thursday at Hampden. Somebody managed to negotiate that, so it was Hampden. I think they were pushing it here in Poland. If it's our thoughts on that game, if it can we learn for that game ahead of the playoff, if it goes ahead, and who we're looking forward to seeing in the squad.
Well, I think this is undoubtedly, if they put their strongest team on the park, it's a formidable challenge. We've had some good battles with them, and they are a very strong team, obviously. One of the best forwards of our time.
Recent years, though, we've done okay against them.
And they've had a few. I think they're quite what they were. Who was the boy that played for Dortmund, Jakub Blaszczykowski or whatever. The winger boy, he was a machine. He's retired, 2019, I think, or his last selected, I can't remember again. But will they play their full team? And that's the sort of thing here. They've 4 days later, they've got a final against Sweden, or who's the other team they're up against? Sweden or Czechs in Poland. So all eyes on that. So it depends what they're going to put out. But irrespective, it'll be a good challenge for Scotland, and Stevie Clark, I think, will go with a strong sort of starting 11 for me.
Got a few missing, but he's in the score for Scotland and Azar.
I think 7 I've counted here for the last, because you've got Marshall, Cooper, Suter, Turnbull, Nisbet, McKenna, and then, well, Dykes isn't missing, but he's struggling certainly for that first game.
Robertson, was the Robertson's got COVID thing? A load of shiters. They heard of that,
Nope, they heard of that.
Okay, so you must be all right then. I'd read a few posts, Robertson had COVID, was that a load of shite?
Must have dreamt
that.
Going back to Poland, though, I think getting the game at Hampden, with the kind of likelihood of Lewandowski being there, for me, he's definitely in the top three best in the world, just now, if not the best in the world. So great for fans, great for young kids that are going to get along. And it's not normally you're that kind of looking forward to a friendly, but I think... it's a full hoose, and it should be a good friendly. So
we're also getting down together for a few beers for it, and I wouldn't easily get on the beers for the friendlies. So that's maybe helping the excitement.
Maybe.
maybe a bit. But they're, I was reading that they've got Mace to the West Stand. Obviously, there's a lot of Polish people in the UK, here, aye, so that'll be brilliant, because they'll bring a lot of noise, and they do, there'll be a few flares and the like, aye, so that'll be, I think it'll be a great occasion in the pubs and that afford it as well, so well, we're just getting down for a few beers and cutting the football, so I'm really looking forward to it, obviously, yeah. But...
No, worse than Hamden with 12,000 folk and five away fans. No.
They've obviously been the kind of... biggest supporters of Ukraine as well, taking in other refugees and that, so I'm not exactly sure if it's planned at Hamden, but it would seem to make
some gesture
to,
I'm sure.
I think a lot of the gate money is supposed to be going as well.
So. Dinner ticket or something going to Ukraine, is that right?
UNICEF, £10 for each ticket is going to UNICEF, and specifically for the refugees and stuff like that and those affected, so that's brilliant. 50,000 aye. Absolutely fantastic. Quality. Half a million quality. Straight off. I'll be looking out. I've got a massive into the whole virtue signalling thing, but I was over in Ukraine in 2006 2007 whenever it was.
Is that anything you got hiding?
Well, a few folk there. I was still reasonably fast enough to run in the opposite direction at that point.
So but, Dave got hiding.
Dave got.
Is that in that? He's only had to run faster than Dave to avoid a hiding.
Dave was just back for a broken leg and dislocated ankle that we got in the five aside. So it was fine. He was thrown to the wolves.
His big wallet was probably slowing him down.
You didn't need it back in Ukraine at that point, but I've got a few wee bits, again, badges and scarves and all kinds of things, and I keep a lot of stuff like that, so I'll maybe look out some stuff to maybe make a point of wearing something.
Half and half scarf wanker, surely.
Oh, no, it's never a half and half, no way.
So we're thinking of the squad then that we have got, there's a few new faces in there, John.
The first thing that just screams out when you look at a squad is we've got four left backs.
It's ridiculous that Taylor is still in that squad.
Unbelievable. The only thing I kind of thought, and Ken Hickey is probably going to divide opinion a little bit, but is he looking at, could he play on the right? Because for me, O'Donnell's not been that great a season. No. I'm not sure he's ever had a great season, but...
Patterson's not played either.
And Patterson's kicked even less buzz at Everton than he did.
Couldn't
at
it
Rangers,
be a fucking podcast without some right back controversy? Could it? Holy shit.
Patterson can't get a game in a shite Everton team that can't get a win.
And I was surprised with that Ralston didn't get included in the squad. He's played every game nearly for Celtic as far as I can. So
Celtic fans seem to be raving about him, and
I
think he hit his moti. I think he had a bit of a stinker for a wee while after he burst onto the scene, but he seems to be steady again.
I guess I'm not really that into if you play for Rangers or Celtic or a Prem team, you should be guaranteed, but if you play that number of games, then surely you've got something about you. And I think we Patterson nae playing leaves Clark in a wee bit of a difficult position, because is he going to just say, well, Patterson's a better player, we're going to play him, or are we back to O'Donnell and that's it?
Well, at least O'Donnell should be, nae question over his match fitness, because even though he's in a struggling Motherwell team this season, he is playing week in, week out.
It's more the standard he's playing, that's a problem.
Possible. I've not seen that much of him, to be honest, to comment on it, but I think Hickey's just there for him. Hey, Luca, that the friendlies have afforded us this option to get, Hickey and maybe the boy Stuart in, who otherwise probably wouldn't have got a sniff for a while anyway. Gives Clark to have a look at them.
Same with the boy Halkett, is it?
But we're missing a lot of centre half, so can you work down that list? So you're missing McKenna, Cooper, Suter, and then obviously Andy Constein's been out for ages, so
you slipped that, you know. That's
I feel
a joke.
Sorry for Andy Constein, though, because he would have probably got another couple of caps under his belt at this point if he hadn't had that horrific injury, which is a shame.
I'm not sure.
I had to try, but so we're missing a heap of boys at centre half. So,
but if you look at the starting centre halves. Ken, if you're looking at Tierney, Hanley, probably Henry or McTominay.
They're there. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Agree. But he needs that cover, so yeah.
We spoke about Hickey there. And you've got in your notes there, are we right to include him if he snubbed the under 21s a few times? Has he snubbed the under 21s or is that official?
We'll never know. But I mean, the way that
because you were slagging him like fucking the group chat about snubbing under 21s, and all of a sudden he was named in a full squad.
Exactly. But I mean, Gemmell's words. We can go. We kind of said between us, Fitz, get on here. Mm-hmm. The previous snubs, oh, I want a rest. That doesn't sound great. Again, it's like, what is it, in tour flight for Italy or something, can you need a rest? Come on. But it was Gemmell's comments when he tried to call him up this most recent time, if it was 6 weeks ago or something, he's saying sort of weird stuff like, oh, well, he's got his own opinions and we have to respect that, you know. We do want to call him up, but he's nae willing to change his opinion. That sounds like he's turned him down, eh?
Definitely. It was certainly reported the last time I was squads that he turned it down, but I mean, it doesn't sit very well that he's probably turned down the under 21s, but I equally don't think we should just pass a boy that age. If he's good enough and he shows a commitment to the main squad, then there's been other players that have done similar stuff and came back. Tierney's an example for me. He never really turned his dude, but he didn't turn up for a while very, very often. And granted, he had injury problems, but I played for Celtic at the time and was now in Scotland. So I'm prepared to give him a chance.
Yeah, I think without the opportunities for these friendlies, he'd have been waiting a good bit longer. But he's clearly a very talented young player, which obviously with us, we kind of really turn our nose up at, you know, that kind of player. But you trust Clark. He's not got any of these things wrong yet, so you trust him, and obviously he's made the decision. So I'm not going to question him, but it was a surprise, I'll say that. For me,
his inclusion, I mean, you're maybe right. He maybe is thinking he could play on the right, because I think he has played there for his team, hasn't he, in Italy? But why, I say this every pod, but it's even more staggering. Why is Taylor in that squad? It's unbelievable.
I've got six fullbacks. If you say Tierney could be a fullback,
what is he bringing to the table?
I do like him. I mean, I like Greg Taylor. I think he's a good player.
I bet. Ken, but he's fourth choice, and call him up if we need another left back, isn't he? He's a waste to a squad place.
Yeah.
He was a Killy man, wasn't he, when Clark was at Killy?
Yes.
And his loyalties, boys, Ken, the Donald's in the squad. So he's maybe just balancing it out with Taylor as well. But. I would have definitely rather had Ralston than Taylor. It maybe suggests that he'll nae play Robertson and Tierney
both games. Well, I think we could see quite a few changes in that second game. I mean, we'll come to that, but I think he'll go with a pretty much a stronger first 11 as we've got in the first game at home to Poland, and then probably see a good few changes after that, so you might see some of the players at their, you know, clubs like Liverpool and whatnot, getting rested. They'll certainly be in Clark's ear, a lot of these clubs, for the top players. But also, delighted, must mention Ryan Jack back in the squad, which
just going to say that, Ryan, just Ryan Jack's back, brilliant. What do we think about that?
Yeah. I'm delighted. I mean, I've spoke about him enough on here, and I think he was a miss for us in the Euros, a massive miss.
Definitely in certain games. He's a player that also can go and let other players play.
He's been good for Rangers in the European games. He seems to have came back from injury reasonably strong. So it's a no-brainer to be in the squad, but not sure whether he'll go straight into that first 11. But certainly gives us another option.
McGregor back for you. An injury as well? looking good again.
He's been back for a while.
Is he going to be wearing that mask?
They were expecting him to be out for a lot longer, weren't they? They weren't sure if he was going to make. Obviously, this was meant to be the semis. They weren't sure if he was going to make it, but he's got his auto on, is he?
Yeah. This maybe works for us, eh? I mean, we've had a fair few strokes of luck in the last couple of years, especially with COVID and stuff, and the way the Nations League panned out for us to get to the Euros. And I mean, if we're missing seven normal squad members, quite a few of them could be in the first team or pushing for it, then, you know, this situation has presented us with another opportunity just to have that wee bit longer until, you know, they may be back for June, which, if we're looking for good news in a terrible situation, that's maybe one bit of good news for us. It gives us that wee bit more time.
Billy Gilmore, what about him? Is he still?
He is playing on half at Norwich, but he's certainly near first name of the team sheet kind of guy there.
He's still Scotland's saviour. Do you think he'll even start?
I think he'll play one of the games. I don't think he'll play both games, but
he's in the strongest three, isn't he? I mean, just now, if we were putting our strongest team and everyone was fit, he's in it.
I think on previous Scotland performances, he definitely is. If you look at current form, and I'm not sure if he would, is McTominay or Jack a better option in the kind of base of a three? McGinn's going to definitely be in that, and McGregor tends to play, so I think he's maybe nae as guaranteed as he once was, although I've a wee bit of feeling McTominay might end up back in the back three yet.
Possibly.
Unlikely, I think. But you're the Aberdeen fan, Brookie. How's Lewis Ferguson's second season there, again, third season, whatever it is? He obviously flew to blocks the first well. Is he still producing the goods?
Yeah, he's just a beast. I was at a game recently with Dougal, and every time, everything comes through him, and he's just athletic, he's strong, he's just barging boys off the bar, he's demanding the bar. You just tell he's an absolute leader. And I'm not surprised to see that there's clubs sniffing about him. I'm actually really surprised that he's still at the club, to be honest. I didn't think we'd have held on to him for that long.
Do you start on one of these games then, maybe?
Well, I didn't think he would let us down, put it that way. I mean, we are really heavy on top midfielders for Scotland under Clark. But he's been brought into the squad. He's kept his place in the squad. He's come off the bench a few times, so he's obviously rated, so why not? I think maybe I fancy it'll be Austria next week, and I think he might be one of the ones that comes in.
Up front, were they blessed still? Is it going to be Adams, do you think, John?
I think Adams has got the jersey. Like, he's probably the...
We're thinking Dykes maybe isn't a fit.
I think, the QPR manager came out and said that he wouldn't be ready for first game, but he probably could be ready for the second game. So I'm not sure Dykes will start either game if he's missed a good few games. I would imagine Adams will definitely start the first game, probably with Christie off of him, and then
maybe get a better look at this Jacob Brown at some point.
I think him and Ross Stewart, you may as well give them both some time. Nisbet, for me, isn't a miss. I think he's done it for Scotland. So him not being in the squad, he's obviously got a bad injury, and hopefully he kind of comes back fighting, because he's still a young enough boy. But for the fit I've seen of him in Scotland, he does not look at that level. Like, he does not look like he's going to get a goal.
No. Bruce Anderson, unlucky, Rookie? What's top Scottish scorer in the league, player of the month for February, I think he was.
Well, we're off that
local man,
so,
eh?
Yeah, we would have been delighted to see him. We were messaging the group, and we were sort of saying, hey, this would be fantastic. We can get the lad for Banff into the Scotland squad. It'd be fantastic. But missed it this time. As you say, he's gone sort of doing the Che Adams, Jacob Brent. Now, it'd be interesting to see if Lyndon Dykes was properly out for a double header, he would have had to bring in, you know, he's brought in Ross Stewart. I think
I think just with the numbers he's produced this year, this season,
and the
Player of the Month last year, that he must be in the thoughts of nothing else. Mm-hmm. Must have been in a discussion at some point.
But if we're getting a boy for it was in third tier in English football, mm-hmm. Ross Stewart, and he was playing at Ross County, and he was raw talent maybe at Ross County, but. Mm-hmm. But wasn't I sitting the heather on fire? Because I remember Aberdeen were reportedly interested, and I was thinking, well, mate, they must see something that I didn't, obviously. But Bruce Anderson, quite possibly unlucky to miss out on the squad, especially being a friendly and that giving you a better chance of getting in. But fingers crossed that we see him in the future and he keeps progressing.
I think what probably goes against him for this squad is that the Ross Stewart and Jacob Brown boy, there's been more talk of them a number of months for Bruce's.
He maybe needs to produce it over the next few months still.
And probably, I think if he has a good end to the season and starts next season well, then why nay? We'll lack somebody fucking put the ball in the back of the net. And his goals tend to be tap ins, but he tends to be in the right place at the right time. So
yep. Somebody needs to stick it in the net. And if you can score goals for Livy, then. Mm-hmm. Who knows? That boy scoring another goal for Ross County, and he got a Scottish granny or something.
Aye, Regan, Charles Cook.
Aye.
Nah, he's a good player, him, isn't he? But I don't think Bruce Anderson will be at Livy hour long if he keeps going on the path he's going on.
Aberdeen shot themselves in the fit there, didn't they? Was that just because of the COVID thing that maybe him at Aberdeen?
I mean, didn't I get in the background, but Derek McInnes has now got a great record of bringing youngsters through and getting them embedded in the team. Yeah. There was quite a few during his time that showed promise that ended up out the door. So
I think Bruce's mentality was probably to go and play football, though, and
quite right.
It's like the best decision.
It's been a great move for him.
Absolutely, but Aberdeen fans really liked him, and there was a lot of talk on the forums about, you know, he needs more of a chance.
How old is Bruce now? I take it he doesn't qualify for under 21s anymore.
No, I think he'd just be just
he did get called up to one or two of that squads.
I think he'd be 22, 23 maybe, something like that.
Okay, well, maybe one day we'll see him in there, but looking at his squad, we'll leave Ryan Fraser for a minute. We'll talk about him in more depth as we usually do. But any glaring omissions for the squad for you, John?
I wouldn't say omissions.
Other than injuries, obviously.
I thought Porteous has obviously dropped down the pecking order. He's nearly really covered himself in glorious this year, I wouldn't say.
Loose cannon, that boy. Fucking hell.
But if they're taking Hulk it in for a younger kind of centre-back, it doesn't look great for him. But there's no much surprise at goalkeeper. It's a shame at Marshall Zoot, but I think I would play Gordon the first game, then give the other two a half each in the second game, and actually give them some minutes to see are either got on a kind of
half each. Kelly, is it Clark? Is it?
Yes.
He came in. Aye.
Because they've been around squads quite a number of times, but they've never been near getting.
Well, one of that boys are going to have to step up at some point. I mean, combined age over 80 for Gordon and Marshall, probably.
I'm not sure if Gordon will go past this campaign. Marshall seems to be picking up more and more injuries all the time, so his time's probably about up as well. So somebody needs to step up.
See, we're speaking about the possibility of, I think we've quite possibly mentioned about five changes already for what we would perceive to be our first 11 for the squad. Mm. There's just something about Clark. I kind of see him making wholesale changes. He tends to want to keep momentum going a wee bit, I think. So be interesting to see where he picks and chooses them. We'll maybe get onto that sort of when we get into lineups later. But it depends what you want out of someone, whether you want to competitive and win a game, or whether you just want to bed folk in and I look to the future. But I totally agree with the keeper. That's one area where we probably need to start sort of picking who we're going to bet longer term and say, right, you're currently number three, but you're the guy we've got our eyes on.
To be perfectly honest, he'd been having played goalie for a long time. If you've got a good 10 in front of you, you're going to need to be a fantastic goalie.
But you want some negative blunders.
So what you're saying is we need a good goalie.
I agree. If that's Clark's philosophy, I think the best teams, international teams, play their strongest teams that they can't at a time. So because they only get to play together 10 times a year at MS, they need to be playing together, and folk have to fight and earn their place to get in, even in a friendly.
I know. I agree. I guess for Clark, he's probably not hid many Scotland friendlies.
No, that's it.
So he's not really hid the luxury of being able to do that. But I think, well, I agree that only game you go to, if and there is the let's stick in five new boys, the standard goes way down, and Scotland can't afford for the standard to go down. But I would like to see Robertson and Tierney both play at least 60 minutes both games. Same with McGinn. Probably the same with Adams. Although it is tempting to say, well, stick him in and let us see. But I think with a goalkeeper, I think that's definitely one. Give Craig Gordon a full game and then give the other two a chance. The
problem for me with wholesale changes is the year end, and I see how certain players are going to get on in the main team, because it's a totally different team. You need to just make one change or two changes at MS.
I think, in Arthur, if you look at like the midfield, for example, if, say, it's Gilmore, McGregor and McGinn, if I have been the chosen three for a majority of the last wee while, it's not a big change to stick McTominay in for one. It's not a big change to stick Jack in for one, but it's how he does that. Does he put them again, two changes in a game? Or
And it's where we make the changes, eh? I mean, we're talking about the level of the team. Does it change hugely if we're playing one up, right, and we take Shea Adams out of the team and put, say, Jacob Brown in? He looks to be a really good, strong, powerful, sort of fast player. So the level may not go down too much yet, but if you take out maybe, like you're saying, two of those key three midfielders, or you take out Tierney and Robertson, that does affect the level quite a bit. So he's got some decisions to make with that.
I think in the second game, I would quite like him to stick with Adams, but I mean, I'm assuming maybe Christie will play Lee Adams in one game, but I would quite like to see Adams play with the boy Brown, just to
see if it like.
Because Adams can play a wee bit deeper, but
there's also a chance McGinn could play off striker, is he, and play some of the other midfielders. There's options there.
Yep. Agree.
Ryan Fraser, obviously excluded this time. You think it looks like he'll be back? Seen enough, Brookie?
Well, first of all, he's absolutely right to exclude him for the squad. I'd have told the wee fucker to sling a suit.
Nadu, he's playing some fantastic football for Newcastle, huh?
Of course. You know, I have to say, very well handled by Clark, actually. You know, he's done enough to make his point that crap like that wouldn't be tolerated. You just want to stand for it. And he's also went to the player. They've had a chat. He's obviously told him we won't hold any grudges, but you'll have to serve your time and work your way back in. Fraser, on the face of it, seems to have accepted that. So if that's the case, he's not completely isolated a good attacking option for us, because let's be honest, again, we cannot be affording to, you know, just say, right, you're done with Scotland, even though many fans would be tempted with that situation to say, right, I beat it. But well handled by Clark, and if he keeps producing, then I think we'll see him back in one of the future squads fairly quickly.
I think, as we all, Clark didn't really hide it for the media. Like, a lot of managers would maybe, oh, it's been dealt with internally and kind of cover it up a wee bit. He kind of came out and said, nah, he's... he did wasn't right, so he's missing out. I seen it's a wee bit of a shame that it's ended up two friendlies, because it's become quite a safe kind of, you can miss the two friendlies, you'll be back for the big games kind of thing. It would maybe be the only thing that I think he deserves to miss a big game, although we maybe can't afford to really pay him for big games. But I didn't forgive too easy, and I think he took a piss completely. I don't think he's form for Scotland. He's patchy and he's form for Scotland, but on his day, there's no question he's probably the most creative player that Scotland It'll be interesting to see if he maintains his form and whether or no he fancies geeing up his holidays in June.
Aye, that'll be the next thing. If you do that twice, then you're absolutely gone. There'll be, and I didn't think Clark's a boy would let you cross him more than once anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Problem, and I thought, is it just once that he's going to piss this again? Ken?
Yeah.
Well, never exactly. Care. But
we'll you leave think it the, up to Clark.
You think the lure of the World Cup would be enough to...
But that's a thing. That's annoying if that's how the motivation is, just to potentially play in a World Cup. She want to play for his country regardless.
Scott Brown will be back at retirement.
Well, we've touched on Poland, haven't we? Then the fact that we're in the World Cup draw for the first time in 24 years.
Yes.
We're going to be in it regardless.
Yes.
I kind of really bring myself to be too excited about that, to be quite honest, because it seems a long, long way away.
Of course, we're fourth seeds as well.
I didn't think MD's really given too much a shite about that. You know, if we were properly in the draw as one of the teams that had qualified, you wouldn't give a shite where we are.
It's a dream group for you, Brookie.
Well, obviously, it's quite difficult. There's still quite a lot of permutations. I was saying a look earlier, but
it's a seeded teams. You did send them in, didn't you?
I did send them in, but I mean, the one we want is Qatar. Qatar are a first seed, so. Every third and fourth seed in the World Cup wants Qatar as their number one seed.
They're maybe quietly training up a super team. I mean, and that heat as well has got to be a bonus for them.
I'm probably the opposite. I would rather have a glamour team. I would like
Brazil.
I'd like Argentina just to see Messi play against Scotland.
Argentina would be good.
The last tournament he's going to play in, and. I would fancy Argentina. I'm not sure about the other kind of...
USA.
I'll take Qatar. We'll take USA or Canada. Who else could qualify? Somebody like Japan or something like that, maybe. That'll do me. But to be honest, I'll take anything. Just let us go.
Qatar, Canada, and some basic African team. We'll get humped by Abdi. Costa Rica or something.
I'd rather. We're not winning a World Cup. Let's be honest about it. We're not going to win a World Cup. So I would rather we had good games.
You want to get out of group for the first time.
The first stage for the first time, Matt. So yeah, absolutely.
Get a knockout game in a World Cup.
I bet it's fourth seeds. And given our kind of far away, obviously that's a dream to get out, but really you just want to have a good time.
I think as fourth seeds, it's highly likely we'll get a European team as our top seed, I think, isn't it?
Like a England or a
England,
Italy,
Belgium,
or a Spain or something like that. Yeah, France maybe.
I think so, because in three of the groups, there'll be two European teams.
Five out of eight, I think there's two.
Is it? Or five, aye. Only three of the groups and only one European team. So it's likely to be, we'll face a Belgium, France, England, Spain.
But there'll be European teams in either pot.
I'd have thought so, right?
The only thing that I'm surprised about here is that England wouldn't be able to draw Qatar, because I thought that would have been a stick on, but because they're the seeds ones, then.
I'm sure they'll manage to get a fine cushy number. idea.
Daring to dream. It is feeling starting to feel the same way as we did in the run up to the Euros. You know, the playoffs. So
it's Ukraine thing's just teen a shine off it for me. Like just this thing being delayed, and Abdi Els is getting Kane if they've qualified or not, and we're still going to be in limbo.
I'm really surprised that the Wales Austria game's going to heed now. Like, I can't know why they couldn't have just changed up some of the fixtures.
Mostly because of the Nations League, it would just end up there's a needless pile up for them. But it's certainly you could say a bit of an advantage for whoever. And I'm sure it it's going to be us versus Wales in Wales for a place at a World Cup. I think it's written in the stars. I have been even since before the Ukraine thing. I fancy Wales to beat Austria.
I'm upset. I think Austria get a, I think they get a pump Wales.
You reckon?
I think because it's in Cardiff, it probably just plays into Wales's favour a wee bit.
They didn't lose at that wee stadium much. Yeah, that's why they keep playing at that Cardiff Stadium. They didn't lose much there.
I noticed an article today about Bale. Didn't turn up for the El Clasico, saving himself for Austria. Wales.
3-0 Austria, I think.
Never 3-0
at
Cardiff.
There's a few if Austria win, but I don't think it'll be a 3-0 drubbing.
Getting it on the bookies and wide in the road, basically.
Yeah. getting to pub, nae stopping at nae bookies. there was a few folks saying that, well, Austria can't nail way through
the Head the Nations League thing.
The Head the Nations League, so maybe that kind of affected it. I didn't buy into that. But I think Wales will win, and it looks like obviously we'll get a bye. And so, and then cue the pressure, change a game, put it into the big stadium in Cardiff, so we can have a massive amount of tickets. That'd be some occasion.
We've had a bit of joy at qualifying over Wales, though, and for World Cups and win the distant past.
The recent history is not great.
I still think we're owed them, eh? I think we owe them a doing like them. Fuckers.
And at the time, Bale was on a different planet at that point.
Well, yes.
That two games in the group, we had Belgium and that, and Levine was manager when he struck in Tino at some point in that group. Bale was just flying at that time.
Well, that two goals he got, unreal. You know, that the screamer to win it. I was right down second front row in that stadium, and it was absolutely pissing hail game. Got absolutely soaked.
That's right.
And we could see, we went 1-0 up, obviously, and then we scored a second that got disallowed.
That's right.
And it was Stevie Fletcher crossed it in, and they disallowed it because they said it went our... it was out.
It was Charlie Adam playing that game.
He would have been. I could see at the time, it was like 15 yards off me at most. I was like, I'd stay. I knew the hell, but I was out. And sure enough, you see it on TV later, was out. And that would have put us 2-0 up. And I probably already had a moan about it on your phone. But you just can't up with it. Just like, they're going to score. And the crowd was willing them on. The Welsh crowd were really good that night. And that was a pretty horrendous walk back in the rain to the centre of Cardiff. I've held on to that in and thought, oh, fucking, we're due them. So it'd be nice to qualify at their expense.
Definitely. Okay, predictions for Poland then?
I think we're going to sneak a win against Poland. I think they'll be less looking forward to it than if we will. I think Clark will probably go really strong against Poland, and they'll maybe take a fit off of gas a wee bit. So I think we'll get maybe a 2-1. We'll go 2-1, Lewandowski get a goal, and then go off at half-time.
Rookie?
I've gone 1-1 in that
game. I was thinking 2-0.
Wouldn't it be the worst?
I think him. Okay, joke then. So we're picking you up on Thursday, booking the way through. We're making a massive detour to get you.
No. Dazzy's coming here, so we're straight away for David. And by the way, my prediction for the second game is Austria 0, Scotland 1, just in case you were wondering.
Okay.
I think we'll get beat a second game. 2-0 if it's Wales, 2-1 if it's Austria.
I think we'll be Austria and it'll be 1-0.
I think it'll be Austria.
I'm sitting looking at flights, and about 2 days ago, Aberdeen via London to Vienna was £84 return per person. I was like, oh. So basically the plan is half time.
Wait, on the
Wales game.
Are we playing in the second game? The losers.
The losers.
All right, so I'll say we'll beat Wales 1-0.
Okay. We'll see.
Okay, do anything else to add, boys, before we sign off?
Are you bothering me a lineup for a Poland game, maybe, or?
No.
Well, I've
fit if you prepared Gordon. Like fit well, Gordon.
I think strongest Gordon, and then he'll go McTominay, Hendry, Tierney, where Robertson wide, O'Donnell wide, and then the three we spoke about, McGinn, Gilmore, McGregor, and then Christie, Afa Adams. I think that's probably the strongest 11 in the
squad. Have you got on the right?
Like the wing back.
Aye.
O'Donnell. Of course, it's file pick. You
ain't got Hanley in there. Like, nah, Hanley up play.
I have.
Nah, you said McTominay, Hendry, Tierney.
Oh no, it's McTominay, Hanley, Tierney. Ah, God,
okay. I think I'll be.
I think Parson
will maybe play.
Parson no, play there, or Hickey maybe. Might throw him in because he's playing. Parson's not playing. We'll see. I think anything else will be about right. Like,
yeah,
McGregor, Gilmore, McGinn, Christie, Adams.
Christie off Adams. I had the front five sort of, if the strongest teams kind of pick themselves just because the squad's a wee bit limited with injuries. So, yeah, I think we'll go strongest against Poland, at least to start with.
How many subs you allowed in friendlies now? Because we didn't have to lay a friendly for as long, but it did get reduced, didn't it?
Seven, maybe?
Is it five?
Mine's Sven used to do the full 11 like at half time.
What a grind that was.
Alright boys, that'll do us, will it?
Think so.
We'll see you at back at 10 on Thursday, Boogie.
Aye, 10 o'clock, a minute later match.
Yeah, we're on McClay timeline. Okay boys, see you then.
Yes. See ya. Waving everywhere, man. Waving everywhere, man. See every friend swear, man. This is a Glasgow fair, man. Waving for Ryanair, man. Waving everywhere. Waving in Glasgow, Audubon, Chorzo, Opie and Orion, Torino.
Well, that's it for another Beyond Hampden Park. We'll see you all probably after the friendlies. We'll maybe do one. If not, it'll be June time. Is that our next game? I think it is. And hopefully we're looking forward to at least a playoff final against Austria. Until then, enjoy. If you're going to the game, enjoy it. Get a few beers down, you like us. And if you see us on the go, feel free to say hello. Bye for now.